You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 3rd of September, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. And I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show today, Max Musson from Western Spring. Max, how are you doing today?
I'm very well indeed. It's been a really good weekend so far, and I'm looking forward to today's show. It should be a really good one.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, indeed. Last week, I went quite in depth into the Labour anti-Semitism row, which is really just this gift that just keeps on giving this year. And I know you would have liked there to have been there for it, because it's such a subject that I know you yourself find to be particularly hilarious. I know you've been looking into it this week, because it's just in the news all the time. There just isn't a break from it. I think we've got the Labour conference coming up soon. Just today, we actually had a Labour Jewish conference. We had Gordon Brown there, and he was just going on and on and on about anti-Semitism and how, if we have a society that needs to be equal, the most important thing we have to do is fight anti-Semitism. And you just think, well, hang on a minute. That doesn't mean that society is equal. If there is one particular group you are not allowed to criticise, that doesn't mean society is equal. You have to have a law to prevent criticism of every single group in society, not just the Jews. And that just seemed to go completely over his head, that what he was actually saying didn't actually make any sense. Luciana Berger was there. I mean, she is so hideous. She looked really bored, actually, sitting there on the stage. And then they had this Rabbi Laura, they call her, who looks like a chicken, and she was likening this to the Holocaust, and agreeing that Jeremy Corbyn is just like Enoch Powell, which was something that was said the other week. We've now got the chief rabbi, he's wading into it and attacking Jeremy Corbyn. We've got people resigning left, right and centre. It's been the main news on the Andrew Marr show today. You just wouldn't have believed it a couple of years back that Jeremy Corbyn would be attacked like this. And what it really seems to be is left-wing Jews fighting against right-wing Jews, and that's all that the news about. Is it as if the Labour Party doesn't have any other issues that they should be talking about? It's purely and simply all about the Jews and whether or not people can criticise them. And they're saying, well, the new meaning of anti-Semitism is attacking Israel. So basically, nobody can criticise Israel. That seems to be the main point of this. It's not anything else that they're actually talking about. And one thing it did actually remind me of, it actually reminded me of Pfefferkorn and Reuchlin. Back in the time of the Reformation, the Jews were at the centre of things, and their Talmud, the books of the Talmud. And there was a converso Jew who was called Pfefferkorn, and he was exposing the Jews and saying, you need to burn their Talmuds, you need to burn their Talmuds. And Reuchlin was, apparently he was a Gentile, but he was, you know, he was like John Mann, the Labour MP, the guy who does the attack dog job for the Jews. And he was really, really pro-Jewish. And this was the centre of everything that went on at the time. The whole of society was watching these two, Pfefferkorn and Reuchlin. So it was basically just Jewish issues. And they were calling Pfefferkorn basically the equivalent of a self-hating Jew. He'd been dipped in water, that was all. And the Jews themselves were so impressed with Reuchlin's philo-Semitism that they actually set up an idol of Reuchlin. And they were dancing around this idol as if it was the golden calf from the Old Testament. And, you know, it just makes me think, well, things haven't changed today. It's still how we treat the Jews is at the absolute centre of politics. And that's all and you would think that anybody was worried about. Anybody reading the newspapers today from outer space or whatever would think the only thing that these people are concerned about is how well the Jews are treated. You know, that just seems to be at the centre of everything. It's so bizarre. And yet at the same time, it is also so hilarious to see, because we know that the last thing Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite. And, you know, he's being painted as if he's just building the gas chambers. Right now, he's going to stick them all in the gas chambers. It's an existential threat that the Jews are facing simply because he doesn't want to make it illegal to criticize Israel. That's all. And because he talks to Palestinians, because he thinks you need to talk to both sides. I mean, you do actually, part of me does actually feel a little bit sorry for Jeremy Corbyn in all of this. But I know you've been looking into some of the other issues to do with it this week, Max. So, yeah, what have you been looking into?
Well, I'm of course, entirely opposed to Jeremy Corbyn's politics. You know, his politics is a politics of multiculturalism and multiracialism and of Marxian socialism. So I'm completely opposed to that. But one of the things that this whole issue has impressed upon me is just what a man of strong character Jeremy Corbyn is. You know, the people who are attacking him in the media are trying to portray him as being somebody who's weak and who's you know, not doing enough, etc. But you know, he seems to be somebody who is who is doing a tremendous job of resistance. And there was a meeting that he had not so long back with the Board of Deputies of British Jews, where I would have expected virtually any other leading politician within our society at the moment to have completely caved in and to have given in to all of their demands. And yet Jeremy Corbyn came through that meeting and they were entirely frustrated, and they just didn't know what to do, because he had just doggedly refused to agree to what they were demanding. And the way that this is presented in the news is that Jeremy Corbyn has failed to accept this International Holocaust Remembrance Society's definition of anti-Semitism, whereas in fact he hasn't failed to accept it. He has decided not to accept it. That's basically what it amounts to. And he's decided not to accept it because he regards it as being something which is unfair and which is not right for him as the leader of the Labour Party, the leader of you know, what is probably one of the largest political parties, certainly the largest political party in this country in terms of its membership. And it's absolutely right that he shouldn't let himself be bullied by this tiny minority of people. And it was interesting in the demonstrations that were outside of Parliament not so long back, by the sort of enough is enough demonstrations. I can't think who it was who had the banner, but there were certainly some people there who had the banner saying for the many, not the Jew. And I don't know whether they were people who were supporters of Jeremy Corbyn, who were like aping the Labour Party slogan of for the many, not the few. But I rather got the impression at the time that it was actually Jewish people that were sort of using this slogan, for the many, not the Jew. And I don't really quite understand the logic behind doing that. But it's certainly a situation where, you know, that the Labour Party should be pursuing the policy that is for the many, not the few. And as far as the British people are concerned, you know, it's entirely right, that principle, that the Labour Party should be concerned with the many and not the few. And not the few in the sense of the smaller number of people that occupy whatever ethnic minority it happens to be, whatever organised minority group it happens to be. The Labour Party should, by rights, be determined to uphold the rights of the many against the rights of the few, because that's the way it should be. And that's the way that Jeremy Corbyn sees it, and or appears to see it, I should say. You know, hopefully I'm right, and hopefully, you know, what he's doing is in accordance with the way I would like to see things done. But what we've seen in recent times is all manner of Jewish organisations, all manner of politicians who are in some way beholden to organised Jewry for the positions that they hold in our society, who are all coming forward and who are all testifying against him, and who are all trying to sort of stick their dagger in his back in the hope that their dagger will be the final dagger that brings him down. But, you know, the amazing thing is that Jeremy Corbyn, despite all of this, despite all the daggers he's suffered in the back, is still walking forward and is still insisting on doing what he sees as the right thing. Now, I don't necessarily agree with, as I said right at the very beginning, I don't necessarily agree with, in fact, I definitely don't agree with all of the things that he believes are right. But in this principle, with regard to this principle, you know, he is absolutely right. And so what we've got is a situation where what we've got is organised jury, and by organised jury, what I mean is the is probably mostly that the right-wing Jews within the Jewish community in this country, who are all out to get him because he is critical of the state of Israel, and he's critical of the way in which Israel has treated the Palestinian people. You know, quite rightly so, some might say. And it's absolutely right that if he feels strongly in that respect, and if the majority of people within the Labour Party feel that way, then that is the way that the Labour Party should be positioned in terms of its relationship with Israel. But what we've got is this hardcore of extreme right wing Jews within the Labour Party who are, you know, friends of Labour, friends of Israel, who are. Who right from the very beginning really have been out to get Jeremy Corbyn out of the leadership of the Labour Party. And we've only got to go back to, as I keep referring back to, I've referred back on a number of occasions to the occasion, I think it was the 30th of September 2015, when there was a Labour Friends of Israel meeting at which Michael Foster shouted from the back of the room, and in really quite a comical fashion. And I mean, anybody who wants to sort of indulge a certain amount of comic irony should go back and listen to the videos of that particular incident where Michael Foster shouts in the back, "Oi, oi, say the word Israel, say the word Israel," you know, and you couldn't have actually called out in a more comical, stereotypically Jewish way if you'd tried, really. And so anyway, Michael Foster calls out in that respect in an attempt to embarrass Jeremy Corbyn, and then it's quite obvious that in the interviews that Michael Foster had in the following days with the BBC, etc., and when he says in one of those interviews, when Jeremy was elected leader, Jeremy's position on Israel was a cause of concern to most of the Jewish community, so he was invited by the Friends of Labour, not the Labour Friends of Israel, but the Friends of Labour. So Michael Foster seems to have got a kind of, it seems to be a bit confused there as to quite, you know, who's the friend of who and who's doing the sort of leading in this situation to come and parlay those concerns by making clear his views on Israel. And, you know, since that time, and so really for probably 3 years now, we've had a situation where there's been this constant attack against Jeremy Corbyn for things that are really, you know, as far as the majority of the people of this country are concerned, how so trivial, you know, the things that Jeremy Corbyn says that are then latched onto by spokespeople for the Jewish community in this country, who then try and twist them and present them as if they're, you know, severely anti-Semitic, when in reality they're not, because as you said right at the very beginning, Jeremy Corbyn is probably the least racist person in this country. Yeah. There are all these Jewish spokespeople and all these Jewish organizations that keep coming forward and keep trying to present the notion that Jeremy Corbyn is virulently anti-Semitic, as I say, which is not. So now we've got a situation where, you know, virtually every day there is something and something in the news where there is an attack by, you know, some new person against Jeremy Corbyn, or somebody drags up and reiterates something that's been said from the past. And it's this constant thing. And it's just really ironic that the attacks against Jeremy Corbyn are firstly because, you know, he wishes to reserve the right to criticise the state of Israel, and particularly the state of Israel in terms of its treatment of the Palestinian people. But secondly,
well, also one of the things that he's been saying, he's been accused of using this word Zionist, and they're actually saying that just to use the word Zionist is anti-Semitic, and they're saying that when he uses the word Zionist, it's code for the word Jew, so they shouldn't even be using the word Zionist. And you know, this is what you were just saying there about how dishonest the media are when they report what he says. They twist what he says. And he has been explicit and said, well, when I'm saying Zionist, I don't mean all Jews. And I mean, that's quite true, because there are plenty of Zionists that are actually white people. It's not exclusively Jews that are Zionists, and there are plenty of Jews that are anti-Zionist. But they are, the talking heads are coming out and saying, well, that's what he means, because when he says Zionist, he means all Jews. And that's explicitly not what he said. And this has happened time and time again. They've accused him of saying something, and it's explicitly not been what he said. Another of the things that they said that needs to be banned is people saying that Jews are controlling the Labour Party, which is exactly what everybody can see. That's what they see happening, is Jews attempting to take control of the Labour Party. They also said that there's been a rise in talking about the Rothschilds and the Jews involved in banking. They were listing all these things which are quite true, which are quite obvious to everybody, and saying all of this needs to be banned. People shouldn't be allowed to actually mention these things. And I think it's got to be coming quite clear to the general British public that's basically what all this is about. This anti-Semitism thing is just there to protect the Jews from legitimate criticism. Because of Israel and Israel's actions, people want to criticize Israel. That's just the main point, because they're saying, well, this is the, you know, the crunch point is the criticism of Israel. That's now anti-Semitism, just criticizing a country for its behavior. They're saying people should be locked up and silenced for this. And, you know, I really do think this has got to be red-pilling so many people. And it's just since we started now, I mean, we've been on, what, about 15 minutes, and I've got the news on in silent, yeah, on the television screen in front of me. And for that whole time, it's been Labour anti-Semitism row. The whole time. That's what's, like, been up there on the subtitles. So that is taking up 25% of the news cycle is on Labour yeah. anti-Semitism. And they make up, what, less than 2% of the population?
And well, that's right. And what we're seeing is a situation where a group of people who constitute less than a quarter of 1% of the population of Britain, who are dominating the media and dominating the discourse between themselves and the Labour Party, an organisation that's got over 500,000 members and who roughly 15 million people voted for at the last general election. So it's a situation where the few seem to be dominating the many and seem to be overriding the interests of the many. And it's quite obvious, you know, because of the fact that Jeremy Corbyn has remained in place as the leader of the Labour Party, that the vast majority of people within the Labour Party are actually behind him. Because if it wasn't the case, you know, after 3 years of this constant campaign, if that wasn't the case, that the vast majority of people who vote Labour and who are Labour Party members are behind Jeremy Corbyn, Jeremy Corbyn would have been gone. And one of the things that we have to remember is that the organisation that's often credited with bringing Jeremy Corbyn to power within the Labour Party is the Momentum Group. And if you look at Momentum Group, they started in 2015. They started off with very few members indeed. They've now got something like 40,000 members. The person who is the founder of the Momentum Group is a chap called John Landsman, who himself is a Jew, but obviously not a Zionist Jew. There's a guy called Adam Klug, who was one of the second of the four most prominent people who started Momentum, who again is a Jew. The third person is a chap called James Schneider, who again is a Jew. And then there's a lady called Emma Rees, who we don't know what her sort of ancestry or extraction is. But, you know, so there we have a situation where we've got an organisation which has been credited with bringing Jeremy Corbyn to the leadership of the Labour Party, which is predominantly made up of people who are Jews, but presumably who are not Zionist Jews, and two other people who spring to mind are the vice chairman of Momentum, who is a lady by the name of Jackie Walker, and then there's another younger lady called Rhea Wolfson, who has recently got onto the National Executive Committee of the Labour Party, who again is Jewish. And so there are quite a large number of Jewish people who are not Zionists and who appear not to want to place the needs of Israel ahead of the needs of other people, who are steadfastly in support of Jeremy Corbyn. And one of the things that's quite interesting is that Jeremy Corbyn was attacked for attending a seder. This is like a sort of a dinner party that Jews hold. But it was a seder that was held by an organisation called Judas, J-E-W-D-A-S. And that the founder of this organisation is a chap called Joseph Findlay. it's not a typically Jewish name, but then I get the impression from the way that it's been written about that Judas is entirely, almost entirely,